a missionary, a pastor, and a theologian walk into a bar? If they did and they started talking, they would be talking about John 14. Well, the gospel text we just heard has a little bit of everything for you. For the missionary, this I am statement of Jesus, which there are, of course, a whole series in the Gospel of John. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. For those sharing the gospel message, this is a clarion call of what it means to share the good news. For the pastors, I can't tell you how many times I have used John 14 at a funeral service to say to people who are grieving, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me, and in my Father's house there are many dwelling places. And even though I'm going to prepare a place for you. Those are powerful words of comfort and promise of eternal life. And just this idea, as Amanda said, that there is a place just for you. You will get the only key. It's been prepared for you. And God, at that time, will call you home. And then for the theologian who is trying to articulate the theory and understanding of God as three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Jesus' very words where it says, the Father is in me and I am in the Father, and the words that I speak aren't my words, but the Father who dwells in me. It's probably the strongest scripture that affirms the doctrine of the Trinity and kind of articulates this idea of this three-in-one God that we worship and glorify. And yet, what we see in this text of John 14 is it articulates the good news in different ways. And the disciples really are confused. Thomas is confused, and Philip is confused, and we can assume that the other disciples who were there are just as confounded about what Jesus is talking about. So we'll start at the beginning. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God and believe also in me. Jesus says these words to the disciples as they're gathered on what we call Maundy Thursday, the last night of Jesus' life. They're gathered together, and Jesus is trying to encourage them as he prepares to go to the cross. He wants them to know that he, even though he's going to the cross, will be with them. And yet, also, to maintain their faith in times of struggle, in times of distress, do not let your hearts be troubled. And I'm going ahead to prepare a place for you. And then he says, and you know the way that I am going. And Thomas says, how do we know where you're going? We don't know the way. And of course, Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. The way of Jesus is a way of life. In the early church, Christians were called people of the way. They'd not yet begun to distinguish themselves from other groups. They considered themselves faithful to the promises of the Old Testament, but that God's promises were fulfilled in the life, death, and ministry of Jesus, and that the early followers were committed to going in the way of Jesus. That by following the path, the teachings of Jesus, the instructions, the guiding of the Holy Spirit, that following in that way, people would discover the truth. People would discover that Jesus' word, the incarnate word made flesh, is the very revelation of God in real time. And that by following Jesus, we discover what's true, what's eternal. We discover the truth about ourselves, that we are beloved children of God. We discover the truth about the world, that God made everything and everyone. All of which should be cherished. Each of us should be honored as a beloved child of God. And that when we follow in the way of Jesus, as we discover truth, we discover a life rooted in God's abundance. As we heard last week, Jesus said, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. The abundant life that Jesus invites us into. We're invited to follow in the way of Jesus, discovering truth, discovering a life filled with blessing. The abundance of God's blessing doesn't mean material wealth and riches. It means being fully aware that everything that we have is a gift and having grateful and thankful hearts for the people that God sends to us in our life, for the opportunities that we have, and for the ability to be a blessing in the world. I am the way, the truth, and the life. As I said, this is a clarion call for mission, and at times it's also been misunderstood. When you say Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, sometimes people try to make that into a claim of exclusive access to God through Christ and shunning everyone else. But what really is articulated, if you look at John 14, verse 7, it says, no one comes to the Father except through me. Now, that's a double negative. So you can flip that statement around and say it positively. And in doing so, it's a truly remarkable statement, which really says is, through me, you can come to the Father. Through Jesus, you have access to God, the Father, the creator of the world. Through Jesus, we have the ability to see God. Now, in the Jewish tradition, in the Old Testament, there was this theological idea that no one could stand in the presence of God and live. God's power was too awesome, too consuming. This is why when Moses is summoned to the mountaintop, it's a burning bush that speaks, a burning bush that is not consumed. That's God speaking to Moses. And other times, God uses prophets. The job of a prophet is to speak God's word to God's people as an intermediary, because no one could stand in the presence of God. This is why Philip is confused, saying, show us the Father. And Jesus says, do you not know that when you see me, you see the Father? That the words I speak are the Father's words for you. No one comes to me except through the Father. Through me, you see God. Just think about that. If you want to know the very heart of God, if you want to know how God thinks, how God speaks, how God treats people, it's revealed in Jesus. This is why if you grew up with a red-letter Bible, those red letters are Jesus' words. Those are the words of God spoken to real people and spoken to us. Through Jesus, we have access to God. Through Jesus, we see the very heart of God. And God's word about us is that we are a holy people. That passage from 1 Peter was a favorite of Martin Luther. He fashioned from it this idea of God's people being a royal priesthood. As that scripture says, if you go back and look, it says, to build you into a spiritual house, that each of us is like a corner, a stone built upon each other. And together, we can bear witness to the very presence of God in the world. We are to be like priests, bringing the presence of God into the world, because that's what a priest is. If a prophet speaks God's word to God's people, a priest is the holy presence of God in the world. And God's word says about you and me, us together, that we are to be a royal priesthood. And so Luther came up with this term, we are the priesthood of all believers. that each of us bearing the presence of God. And today Rizzo will be baptized, and we celebrate that in a few moments. And we hear at baptism that we are a beloved child of God, that we receive upon ourselves an anointing, that we are to be set apart to do God's work in the world, to be set apart to bear God's presence into the world, to be a beacon of light in a world filled with darkness. We are people of the way. And when we hear God's word, when we hear it clearly, and when we seek to follow, when we follow in the way of Jesus, when we see each person as a beloved child of God and treat them with the same love that God gives to us, we become that royal priesthood, that beacon of light, that glimmer of hope in a world that needs it so much. So you're a priest. Maybe you didn't know. But you are the bearer of Christ in the world. So maybe we have to change our joke. A missionary, a pastor, a theologian, and a priest walk into a bar and they talk about John 14. Ponder these things. Amen.